Good morning, Bill Lynch with the CBS World News Roundup. When President Bush goes before the United Nations General Assembly today, he is expected to call for repeal of the 1975 resolution equating Zionism with racism and to have some stern words of warning for Iraq's Saddam Hussein. Randall Pinkston reports.
In his address to the United Nations, President Bush will discuss challenges facing the world after the Cold War. He will also review the continuing difficulties of Iraqi compliance with terms of the United Nations ceasefire resolutions. Iraq's foreign minister says use of aircraft by UN inspection teams would be permitted, but left unclear whether there would be any conditions. The Bush administration says any restriction is a violation of the resolutions. In his speech, Mr. Bush is not expected to issue a new ultimatum to Saddam Hussein, but will insist that Iraq come clean on its nuclear missile program. Randall Pinkston, CBS News, The White House.
This is Barry Peterson in Bahrain. The latest and largest UN inspection team into Baghdad begins its work today, assessing Saddam Hussein's nuclear weapons capability. UN officials here in Bahrain, where the teams assemble, are anxiously waiting to see how this first day goes for the 45-member group. Another team, inspecting biological weapons facilities, is said to be encountering no major problems. UN officials say the helicopters are needed to survey various sites and also in case a team member is hurt. Remember, said one official, our people are climbing over rubble and debris. If there's an accident, they want to know we can evacuate them quickly. People here see the issue over the use of the helicopters as posturing by Saddam Hussein, a new chance to stand up to the world. The sense here is that once he has made his point, especially in front of his own people, he will back down. The hope here is that he will do so before the Allies decide they must resort to force. Barry Peterson, CBS News, Bahrain.
A fragile truce seems to be holding this morning between Yugoslavia's Federal Army and the breakaway Republic of Croatia. The Yugoslav Navy has begun lifting its blockade of Croatia's Adriatic ports. In Algiers, the Palestinian Parliament in Exile has opened its first meeting in 3 years, with PLO leader Yasser Arafat saying he's ready to lift obstacles to Middle East peace talks and cooperate with, quote, all the parties. More from Jackie Rowland in Algiers.
At the center of the discussions this week will be the U.S. letter of assurances to the Palestinians. Two radical Palestinian factions have already rejected the proposals, and many other delegates look set to follow suit. The PLO is deeply unhappy about certain omissions from the letter. There is no reference to self-determination for the Palestinians, no role for the PLO in the peace conference, and no assurances on the status of Jerusalem. They are also disappointed that the US has not called for an immediate halt to the building of Israeli settlements in the occupied territories. This week's meeting will also see internal disagreements within the PLO. Many Palestinians who have seen their living standards decline as a result of Yasser Arafat's pro-Iraqi stance during the Gulf War will be calling for practical action. They want peace, they want education for their children, and they want decent living conditions. Jackie Rowland for CBS News, Algiers.
Russian President Boris Yeltsin is off to a good start as a peacemaker, persuading the parties in the bloody Armenian-Azerbaijani conflict to go to the peace table. Those talks began today in a neutral northern Caucasus town, with Armenia reportedly dropping its claim on the Nagorno-Karabakh region of Azerbaijan. This follows a referendum in which Armenian voters overwhelmingly approved independence from Moscow. According to TASS, hardline legislators in Tajikistan have forced reformist President Kadreddin Aslanov to resign in what's seen as the first revolt by communists against reformers. The Republic's parliament also declared a state of emergency to curb vandalism of statues honoring Lenin. While UN inspectors look for nuclear pins in the Iraqi haystack, a report by the UN nuclear agency tells of atomic weapons and fuel lost to Davy Jones' locker. Dan Revive has more.
A report by the International Atomic Energy Agency lists 31 incidents in which nuclear material was lost at sea, some reported in the past by governments. 18 involve American vessels, 9 Soviet, the others British, French, and Japanese. The International Agency's report is the first to say that British Navy ships in the Falklands War against Argentina had nuclear weapons. In May of 1982, it says, when a British vessel was sunk, a nuclear bomb was lost in the South Atlantic. A government source here indicates it has since been found without any radiation leak. The report's to be published at a conference here on maritime pollution. Dan Revive, CBS News, London.
Montana State Prison Warden Jack McCormick is trying to identify ringleaders of yesterday's chaotic and bloody uprising, which targeted informers and a protective custody unit.
5 inmates were found dead by the disturbance control team upon entering the building. 8 other inmates were found injured Because of the quick assault the disturbance control team made on the building, it is clear that the five inmates died prior to any action by prison personnel.
McCormick did not disclose how the five had been killed, but some reportedly were hanged. Seven guards were also taken hostage, but were not injured. Governor Stan Stevens flew to the scene and praised prison authorities.
The disturbance control unit, in my judgment, by their prompt action, actually saved additional lives and injury. I don't think there is any question that had they not acted as promptly as they did, we would have seen further loss of life and further injury.
The prison, built for 750 inmates, houses nearly 1,200, but overcrowding was said not to be an issue. Turkish security forces last night reportedly killed three Kurdish rebels suspected in the kidnapping of five Westerners who were released unharmed Friday after 3 weeks in captivity. Four of the Westerners had been searching for Noah's Ark. Iran's news agency reports eight opposition figures have been sentenced to up to 3 years in prison. In a country where the death penalty for political crime is routine, these relatively light sentences are seen as a human rights gesture to the West. A South African man who failed to finish high school was convicted today of causing the deaths of three babies during the 10 years he posed as a pediatrician. Andre Esterhuizen will be sentenced later. When entertainer Sammy Davis Jr. died last year, his widow, Altavies, faced a $7 million tax debt. Yesterday, as Ron Allen tells us, an auction of his belongings brought in $439,000.
Number 2,500 today. It's a diamond 14-carat gold S stick pin. All right, 500.
An auctioneer in Hollywood led a sentimental journey through the life of the late Sammy Davis Jr.
12, 13 in the back, 14 in the front row.
Up for bid were thousands of Davis's personal possessions, the suit from Mr. Bojangles, an autographed picture from Marilyn Monroe, even the gold record for his biggest hit, The Candyman.
It's sad that the only thing left is the material. That's really a heartbreak.
I'm looking at this as an opportunity to see some of his possessions that I was hoping would end up in a museum.
But the items are on the auction block to help pay off Davis's considerable debt. His long bout with cancer left him unable to perform, and performing was his means of making money. The auction isn't expected to pay all of the bills. More possessions, including Davis's Beverly Hills estate, may have to be sold. But for Davis's fans, the auction offered a rare opportunity to take home the treasures of an entertainer's life, pieces of Hollywood's history. Ron Allen, CBS News, Hollywood.
Sir Yu Kong Pao, one of the world's richest men, died in Hong Kong today at the age of 72. Fortune magazine put his wealth at $1.3 billion. The dollar is lower overseas. London gold up 55 cents. And on Wall Street, the Dow is ahead 8.72. It's 10 past 7.